by Vachon. How does the French say Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
That was the master of mirth and inveterate storyteller Brian Brown, who created the Brown Briefly. Together, we the Brieflies strive with dogged determination to keep Brian's creative flame alive by bringing to you every week another episode of intelligent discussion of current events laced with humor and empathy. And we always strive to follow Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Let's start today's show as usual by introducing the Briefly. Sitting by beside me here and engineering the show from behind the big board at the Voice of Vachon's Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in bustling and bodacious downtown Vachon, and keeping us on the magenta line is my friend, flight instructor, recently re-elected Vachon Airport Commissioner. Got, how many votes did you get, Truman?
Three.
Three, okay.
Well,
that was enough.
Count mine.
That was enough.
Didn't
okay.
count mine.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Voice of Vachon board member, West Texas Roughneck and Eastern Montana band member, former Army intelligence specialist, and fellow treetop flyer, Truman O'Brien. How you doing, Truman?
Wow, good. Take a breath.
Whew. I am.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
All right. Zooming in from his home here on Vachon above Burton is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group, in addition to chairing the Equity, Social Justice, and Inclusion Committee at the Vachon Maury Community Council, our tireless defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can all appreciate or at least tolerate, Kevin Jones. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. It does sound vaguely like me, although I do try to hide my identity occasionally. But yeah, that's me. I'm in.
Well, I think you're joining the rest of the group we have today in trying and hiding our identity.
Exactly.
Right.
joining us again in the Voice of Vachon studio is the executive director of the Vachon Chamber of Commerce, 1995 graduate of Vachon High School, and later received a bachelor's degree from Scripps College down in Southern California. From there, she worked in politics and organizing for 6 years in Washington, D.C., and at the GLBT Center in Colorado. Among her most influential experiences, Amy worked for social change makers such as the famous Gloria Steinem. How are you today, Amy?
I'm all right. I'm getting pretty waterlogged, but I'm holding in here for a bright spring.
No kidding. We all are. Like, a few months from now, we'll probably all say, "Where's the rain?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I'm still holding out. I know a lot of folks are losing heart, but I'm still holding out.
Good, good. Our historian extraordinaire, Skipper the Vachoner, president of Vachon's Fantastic Heritage Museum, party animal, and our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Holman, is off on assignment in the Southern Hemisphere, trekking somewhere in the wilds of New Zealand. We'll probably be hearing from him here in the next couple of weeks. Mine is the voice of Craig Bellis, two-time Half-Bright Scholar, wedding officiant, singer, and crasher, and Cajun Dancing Fool.
All right, that's a new one. I want to hear more about that. Yeah, here we go.
We probably will. Joining us today, and it's a great pleasure to have them, is Chris Anderson, founder and owner of The Coop. COOP.
Not co-op.
Not co-op,
that's right.
It could be.
Somebody
could
said
be
that once, and right. The rest of the people looked at me going, what?
What?
And not coupe. That's right. The best little low-down hillbilly joint in the Northwest. And Chris brought two veterans of the coop with him, Lauren Sitter and Dave Lang. How are you doing, Lauren?
I'm good, thank you. We're having a fun time here as usual.
Yeah. Let's hope it stays that way.
Yeah. No fist fights allowed.
That's so. Right. Dave, how about you?
Oh, it's great to be here. I love the times I've shown up on The Voice of Vachon. It's fun people and a lot of good information flows.
Oh, boy, what a nice promo. We didn't even give you that to say. And Chris, what about you? You're happy to be here as well?
Oh, absolutely. Thrilled to death. And being with Dave Lang, I'm telling you, what an adventure. And Lauren Center, what an adventure. And Steve Amson, if you're out there listening, he was going to be here today. He decided to get COVID instead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people have hobbies.
Yeah.
You know?
Really, one I don't want to take up. One I've been able to avoid, actually. Totally.
Yeah.
So before we start learning about the history and happenings at the Coop, let's take a moment to check in with everyone about what special things they were up to this past week. And I'll start out with you, Amy. Here you go. Here's a
mic. All right. Yeah.
Mic's coming at you every week.
I know. I like it. What special things? Gosh, I had a quiet 3-day weekend. I'm really going to celebrate that. I had a very quiet 3-day weekend. And last week, I was really fortunate. It looks like the lineup for Strawberry Festival main stage is really coming together, and I'll just go ahead and break the big news here that we are excited to host Poultry in Motion and some Coop stars at Strawberry Festival, and I think Mr. Sinner is also going to be at Strawberry Festival. So this is our we'll all reunite in July if I don't see you beforehand. But yeah, we are getting ready to make some big announcements about our headliners for Strawberry Festival this week, and a lot of good stuff coming together for the summer at the Chamber right now. Now is the time to plan.
Wow, you do a great job on the Strawberry Festival, Amy. I do appreciate the work you and the Chamber do, not only in that regard, but for example, our whole ferry battle, you know, trying to keep the ferries alive or at least on life support.
Absolutely, yeah. Islanders for Ferry Action, we met with Senator Wynn on Zoom this morning even. Mm-hmm. No big announcements coming out of that, but he did thank the island for our advocacy and said that is really helpful to him because, you know, he is one of a small minority of legislators who are invested in ferry-dependent communities. And so as vocal as we can be, it helps them. And so we were glad to connect with him on that this morning.
Great. Thank you very much. Kevin, what have you been up to this last week?
Well, a couple things. speaking of the rain, as I was listening to the rain drumming on my rooftop about 5 o'clock this morning, thinking that, you know, that rowing invitation is probably not going to be all that great. But, you know, once we're on the water, the rain stopped. Spectacular day out there, flat water, beautiful morning on Vashon. So there are optimistic time periods in between those showers that, you know, make those flowers in May.
Wow. You want to be careful. My son was a rower, I've said this before, he's a member of the UW crew team, and they went out for a regatta in San Diego, and the weather was so bad that the women's eight snapped in half.
Whoa.
Yeah, not a good thing.
No.
No.
So,
no.
And those boats don't come cheap.
There are unrowable conditions, and I'm sure that I've never seen any from a shell.
Yeah, really. Truman, how about you?
Well, I had a wonderful time on Wednesday. I went in, went to the Jazz Alley, Dimitrios Jazz Alley in downtown Seattle. Saw Lucia Micarelli. She's a violinist, classically trained, but she also does jazz and popular music and sings. And she had a stand-up bass player, bowed bass, and the most amazing cello player ever. And an incredible pianist that played with her. Anyway, it was just a great show, really great show. I highly recommend it. Bought a couple of her CDs, in fact.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
You make it into Jazz Alley and what?
I'm what's called an alley cat. I get the early notices from them.
Oh, so. They're great entertainment.
They are fabulous.
Almost as good as the Coup.
Almost.
That's right.
Almost. Yeah.
So, Dave, how about you? Do you have anything happen this last week?
Well, let's see. I had the honor of playing at the Coop. We did a post-Mardi Gras gig with our band, Lady Gator and the Swamp Guys, which includes the illustrious Mr. Anderson sitting to my right here. And I'm always pleased to play with that bunch because I get to play with my daughter and son and two grandsons, as well as Chris.
And Steve
Amsden.
That was a great show. I mean, I was there, and my wife and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually got the baby out of the king cake.
Oh, you were the one that got the baby.
I did. That was my award. My prize is the actual little plastic baby. But I was very pleased. That means I'm going to have, a year of good luck or something. Yeah. Well, that was we'll talk a little bit more about that. That was a heck of a good time. Isn't it a mortal sin to be celebrating Mardi Gras after Ash Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
But it didn't stop you guys.
Well, no, I've given up.
Okay. You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that.
Well, you didn't ask me.
Oh, my. Let's see. Who have I? Chris. Lauren. That's right. Lauren, yeah. How about you?
Well, I've had a wonderful couple of weeks just enduring the Vashon lifestyle and the rain this time of year, the weather where we're kind of, it's the time of year where you get up in the morning and you go, oh, come on. You
know? Yeah. Not again.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's all good. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've enjoyed a quieter life than the past, which is nice.
That's not saying much, actually. That's that's a faint praise or you know, comparison.
My wife Genevieve and I have enjoyed some time on the water recently, and just, you know, enjoying being at home and watching the ships go by and the wildlife that's in the front yard. They're always fun, you know. There's always something going on, but just kind of trying to stay relaxed.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
getting ready for the next big show at the Coop. So that's the big thing.
Okay, yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly. Chris?
Yes, sir.
What did you tell us what you were up to last week?
I kept that secret because Sue said, "Now don't tell them about that." And I said, "Well, what about don't cover that one." Yeah. And Mardi Gras thing, watching Dave and Melanie play together, it's an honor for me. And I just sit back there and play open chords for the most part and just watch them interact. Mm-hmm. And there were some moments on that night that makes everything worthwhile. Yeah. You watch that happen, and then the two grandsons are just accomplished musicians, and his son Ben. So it was. Hopefully, we get to do it again.
So how old are the grandsons?
I hate to tell you, they're 60.
60, no, 60 and no, 65.
They're 30-something.
30-something, okay. All right. Just curious.
I hope they're not 60. Well, maybe. I don't know.
That makes you 120.
That's right.
Yeah.
Got longevity in the family. My week, real quickly, you know, was punctuated with the Mardi Gras party at the Coop, which was just a wonderful, wonderful gathering. But also, as some of you may know, that there's a movie being made on the island right now by Zach Mann is the executive producer of it. And Mark Sarah, who works with him on a lot of movies, is also involved. Sarah Howard is involved. But an entire huge production crew. And I think on Saturday they're asking for extras to come down to VCA because they want to fill that theater as part of a movie scene. I was in the movie here this last weekend as an extra, but it wasn't so much me as one of my cars. It turns out that was the star of one of the scenes. So, but it's quite a movie. It's a sort of a comedic horror movie, and it looks like it's going to be really, really good. So you might check that out, I think VCA this Saturday. Extras. I don't think you have to sign a SAG card or anything because you're not going to get paid.
Yeah.
So, all right, with that, let me move on. Today is a significant day, as are all days. It's 315 days remain until the end of this leap year. 28 days left until the first day of spring, and 150 days until Strawberry Festival, July 19th. That's how many days you got. As I know, the period's shortening there, Amy.
All right.
Yeah. Today is National Love Your Pet Day, which in my house is every day. National Cherry Pie Day. And 2 days that kind of go together. World Day of Social Justice and National Handcuff Day.
That's appropriate.
Well, how do you celebrate that?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, we might all get a chance to do that here in the next several months. We'll
see.
True. In history, on February 20th, on this date in 1937, the first automobile-airplane combination was tested in Santa Monica, California, and they've been working on it ever since.
God, they'll never get that perfected.
Well, they'll never get it people licensed so they can actually fly in those things. In 1952, on this day, African Queen, directed by John Huston and starring Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn, was released in the United States. In 1959, I got a kick out of this. In 1959, Jimi Hendrix, at the age of 16, played his first gig in the Temple de Hirsch Synagogue basement in Seattle and was fired from the band after the first set due to what they called wild playing.
Trendsetter.
All those band members would be wealthier than heck if they had just
stuck with it.
That's
right. No,
if they could have seen the future. And finally, on this day in 1962, as part of the Mercury program, while aboard Friendship 7, John Glenn became the first American to orbit the Earth, making 3 orbits in 4 hours and 55 minutes, reaching a speed of 17,500 miles an hour. Remember those Mercury rockets that were like, you know, large firecrackers? Were you involved in that?
I'm afraid so.
Dave, you were involved in that.
Well, actually, I wasn't involved in Glenn's flight, but...
some of those...
That was the characters I hung around with.
Yeah. Oh, man. I think to strap somebody at the top of one of those sticks of dynamite,
Wow, man.
That's amazing. All right, enough tomfoolery. We'll move on to more tomfoolery.
Okay.
And find out about the coop. Not the coupe or the co-op, but the coop. And it's a real pleasure to welcome Chris and Dave and Lauren here today. The coop is just one of my favorite places. But before we actually talk about the coop, tell the folks a little bit about yourself. This is where you get this. I don't want you to start out with your birth weight, but I do want a quick synopsis of who you are and a little bit of your background. Chris?
Okay, I was 7 pounds at birth.
No.
you knew that was coming, right? I've been in garage bands all my life, and coming to Vashon and meeting Lauren and Dave and enjoying their styles of music and all coming together at the Coop, it's just continued. So I guess I've been playing for about 60 years, and I'm still no good, but I'm working on minor chords, and I'm hoping to get there someday.
And you play what instruments?
I play the guitar.
The guitar?
A guitar.
All right.
Yep.
Okay. Dave?
Well, let's see. I was born as a baby. I became a space geek, rocket scientist, as people are often prone to refer to it. I designed airplanes for a while, and then I ended up smack in the middle of the space program down in Houston. And ended up having the honor and the pleasure of teaching the Apollo astronauts flight dynamics, for instance. That was the kind of stuff I did. That was my specialty. But throughout all of this, I had this hidden perversion of playing music, which has hung with me pretty much most of my life, and I've been unable to shake it, even through therapy. So I'm now still a compulsive musician, playing in bands that Anderson has conjured up, plus playing in bands that I've conjured up. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I'm just a mixture of crazy stuff like that.
I love that. That's a great name for a band, Hidden Perversion.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's going to pick that up.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's a lot of gigs in that one.
Yeah.
And Lauren, some people on the island may have heard of you because you are an institution here as well.
Well, at age 3 in 1959, I started serving what's turned out to be a life sentence on Vashon. And I grew up in a musical household. My father was a trained professional tenor. My mom was an accomplished pianist, and my sister played everything. And we had a family band that would sit around the piano and play. So that's how my music started. And in school, I started taking, at third grade, I started taking piano lessons and learned to play classical piano. That was my thing for a long time. Then during the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, there was a really interesting surge of music on Vashon, guys like Bob Hayworth, who was a member of the Brothers Four and the Kingston Trio, had a fun thing that he was doing. The great blues player Dave Conant was around, Tony Arndt, a lot of fantastic musicians. A lot of them are gone now. The Doily Brothers were a big mm-hmm. deal all through those days. You used to go to the high school dances and watch the Doily Brothers play. And now my band Sinner and the Saints has Jerry Toto and Brett Backus and Scotty Johnson, who were all former Doily Brothers.
Great musicians.
We all go way back, and it's been fun, but there's never been anything like the Coop. You know, it shines out as a thing of its own. That's really special.
I'm wow. So you call time. Yourself, you're primarily a keyboard piano player, are you not?
It's hard to say. You know, I'm last 10 or 15 years, all I want to do is play my acoustic six-string guitar.
Oh, you know, okay, so yeah.
The piano's there and it's fun, you know, but I just love the guitar. I've started playing guitar at sixth grade.
Yeah, wow.
Because I couldn't carry a piano around.
So. That's right. Yeah. You know, everybody took piano lessons. You stuck with it.
And, you know, yeah, I kind of let it go after. There was stuff I could play when I was very young that would take me years to get back. Because if you don't do it all the time.
Right,
you know,
right.
But it's fun. You know, it's the best thing about piano when you're in a band is you get to sit down.
Ah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to stand. If you got a little stage, you got to. Yeah.
Wait, I was going to ask Lauren, what about the keytar?
I've never done that.
No, I want to see it just someday. Just Lauren Sinner, just a solo performance, just an hour of Lauren on the keytar.
Well,
keytar.
Yeah, there's everything now.
I don't even understand that.
Well, none of us understand.
Ask Donald Fagan of Steely Dan. He'll tell you about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, that's good to know, that background. I really do appreciate it. Truman, did you have a question?
Yeah, you know, everybody keeps talking about this Coop thing. What the heck is a Coop? And how did it get going? How'd you guys start?
I'm going to pass this around, but let me just say that the name comes from the band Poultry in Motion, made up by Gib Damon. Gib came up with the name, gave us the name, and then we just started calling it the Coop. That's where the name came from. Dave, can you add to that? Where does the Coop come from? You were at the first party.
Well, it started, I guess, as a rehearsal venue for the band Poultry in Motion, which Chris instigated, just seeing people around town that he thought might have fun playing together in a country band. So we needed a place to play, and Chris happened to have this workshop. And the band that kind of stuck with it through the years was Poultry in Motion. And almost by default, we started thinking of, well, you know, chickens out of control, Coop. So I think I might have even mentioned it as being a coop one time. Erroneously, it was a workshop. But that name just stuck with it. And, you know, through Poultry in Motion, 15 years of active playing, that name just got associated with the venue that we practiced in, which, of course, was the embryonic stage of something much crazier and than just us having a practice venue.
So well said.
Nothing. Yeah. You have nothing to add to that?
I don't know how to. It was so breathtaking.
You need more entertainment these days, Chris.
Kind of curious. What, like, when Lauren, when you came in contact with a coup, what was that like? I mean, the first time.
Well, my youngest son, Alex, actually introduced me to Chris. And I believe it was an event across at the youth hostel there. Uh-huh. And Alex literally said, "You got to meet this guy." You know, so I went down there with my guitar, and Chris and I started playing, and I was invited to. By then, they had the jams, the regular Thursday night jams, and that was my first experience at the Coop, was going to one of the jams. I don't date back to this Nonsense in Motion. What, Poultry in Motion?
I like that name.
Nonsense in Motion.
Amy, can you change it to Nonsense in Motion?
By the way, of all the band names, all the thousands of band names we've all heard or been in, I don't think there's anything cooler than Poultry in Motion. That is, I mean, the Rolling Stones should have that. You know, better. But
we're about the same age, so maybe
great name. But yeah, that was my first experience at the Coop, was going to the jams, and it was a lot of fun. It was inspirational. I wanted to learn a new song, you know, so I'd show up. I think back then we were doing it every week, so I'd learn one or two new songs every week. When you do that for a year, you got 100 new songs. Yeah. It's kind of fun. So
you just got to remember them.
Well, they cycle through. You keep them 30, 40 at a time, and you keep ones them going, fall though. Off, and you got new ones coming.
Okay,
you know? And then when you go a few years go by, you can learn the ones you forgot, and it's like a free new song.
It's like a new one. Yeah, I know. Somewhere back there, you remember.
Right.
Years? How about weeks?
Yeah, right.
Overnight.
Overnight.
That's right. Did I know that song?
Amy, did you want to follow up on that?
The Coop is such an interesting sort of continuing thing that continues to evolve. And I think I understand, right, that the actual physical footprint continues to evolve of the Coop, right? You have inside, outside. And at one point I sort of had this weird fever dream of a story idea where, you know, Chris would just wake up in the morning and he'd walk outside and the Coop would have like sprouted a whole nother, you know, like annex to it, right? Just like you'd just wake up and the fairies would come visit you. But so, you know, it sort of occupies this mythical, you know, like Brigadoon style thing in my mind. But how do you describe the Coop to people when you're just walking around and you're initiating folks into the Coop?
Yeah, well, you know, Amy, I can, you've alluded to some interesting things, and I look back to the question, what was the conception of the Coop? And I think what it was primarily was a band of crazy guys who played together in rehearsals and loved it and wanted to play out, but we weren't having much luck with venues here in town. So one day we were sitting in the Coop rehearsing and looked at each other and kind of almost unanimously said, "Hey, we could make our own honky-tonk here." And then that was the embryonic thing that got people aligned and with having the impetus to say, "Well, what do we got to do? Well, got to take out this wall and that wall so we can have a better seating area," you know, and that was the thinking. So the thinking was kind of like, let's have our own place. We can play there when we want, how long we want, how often we want, and we can practice there. Does that make sense to you, Anderson?
Yeah. You left out the whistle pig part of that.
That was discussion on
how we were going to. They say they're sitting in a table in the middle of the Coop, and they say, "Well, let's just take this wall out and that wall out." Yeah. Okay. 2 weeks later, it was gone. The wall. And it was done. And I just want to mention, I'm not going to mention any names because I would forget somebody, but there have been so many people involved in helping and being involved in building and changing the footprint of the building. And started out as a small building, and it went to the low place, what we call the low place, which is that other area. And then we built this stage, and we say, "Well, let's build another stage. And, you know, and if we come to your house, we'll probably build a stage at your place." I mean, you know, it got crazy. So there was that one.
Go ahead.
Well, again, as a relative latecomer to the Coop, although I guess it goes back a while now. I've been going there 10 or 12 years, I guess.
Yeah, 12 years.
I have experienced some magical moments there of performances and gatherings where, I swear, I've always said, I feel like I'm in a National Geographic article about Dr. John and the Bayou. You know, I mean, it's that unique. I mean, you just don't get that kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of lovely venues on the island, and there's a lot of great places to play, but... And another thing I think is really cool about the Coop is it gives people of all levels an opportunity to play. You know, you don't have to be an accomplished player. You know, we've had some pretty important luminary people come through there, you know, some names, you know, but.
You know, something I found is that if you play with somebody that's really good, I mean, if you're just getting started, you get better. I mean, it just It's osmosis. I don't know what it is.
Just sitting next to Dave, I'm getting better.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
But
you're getting better looking.
But back in those jams when we used to have them regularly, I remember people would come. It was their first time they learned a song and memorized the chords and the words, and you can see they're just shaking in their boots because they're playing in front of four of us, you know, and they're trying to get through that song. And to watch somebody like that grow and get more confident, next thing you know, they're up on the stage, and that's really cool. And that's something you don't get to do in the bar, you know.
That's right.
And also, go ahead.
No, but, go ahead.
And the whole entertainment thing in bars and stuff has really changed to the negative. It's oversaturated. There's no money in it. It's kind of a losing battle, you know. So what these guys have put together is something that supersedes all that and shines above, which is really, really cool.
That's an interesting point. There's the whole vantage point of the musicians who are playing there and the joy that you get you know, playing before a fun crowd and with other musicians, jamming and whatnot. But then there's the side of the patrons and the sense that they have. How can you describe that? Because you do sit on the other side sometimes, Chris.
Well, anytime that you are playing music and you have the audiences from Vashon, which are incredible people from all kinds of different lifestyles, and you just get chills in the sense of watching them avoid their daily hassles and just let it all loose, you know, because you know it's like the time when the power went out. I wanted to tell that story. The power goes completely out, and it turned out it was out on the entire island.
Well.
And the two Salonen boys, your grandsons, Dave, rigged up generators, and the party started again. And we forgot that the power was out in the island. We had such a good time that when we were done and we went outside, the entire island was black. It was a memorable moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is interesting when you drive in there, because it's kind of tucked away in the woods, but sometimes you'll see the lights on. They're almost like flickering. And, you know, on cartoons where they have old cartoons where they have these, the building is sort of rocking back and forth to the music. That's the sense I get when I drive in there and I can hear the music as I get closer. My good friend, your old neighbor, Pat Ingressi, he and I went down the Mississippi River down from D.C. all the way down to New Orleans, and we were looking up true juke joints. And this just reminds me of that. Like I said, a lot whiter, but just that sense. There's something about the coupe. You've got people from all walks of life. You've got all ages. You've got all philosophies. You've got all politics. You don't talk about any of that stuff. You just enjoy each other's company and have a hell of a good time.
Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it from a spectator's point of view. I've only been there once. I'm really embarrassed to say, but the time I went there, Joe Jinks, who is internationally famous now used to sing with a group called Brother Sun, but he has the most remarkable voice, and to be able to sit 5 feet away from this guy and hear this guy sing in that venue was just, it was a really special moment for me as a spectator. I just couldn't believe it. You know, wow, how lucky are we, you know, that we get to hear this at this place.
Well, I think an important part of the growth of the coupe was almost the serendipitous accumulation of characters who were in the original band. Because once it dawned on us that we had a space and that Chris was quite willing to do almost anything with that space that looked like fun. It was more a matter of, well, we got people here that know how to wire stuff. We had people that knew how to pour concrete. We had all sorts of characters who were kind of do-it-yourself kind of guys. And when we said, well, we need more. If we want to make this into a venue, we got to remove some of these walls that was in this workshop. Well, somebody along the way, one of the people, two of the people, who knows? I know we had engineers, architects, jack of all trades, all sorts of people. And it was more a matter of everybody chipping in and saying, well, hey, I know, by the way, you don't want to remove that wall, the roof will fall in. Yeah. Okay, well, we won't remove that wall, in, or we'll replace it with some columns, et cetera, et cetera. And then I remember when we had our very first party there, and the party was in, we never intended it to be a big music venue in the sense of, well, yeah, we're going to have a bar and charge and sell drinks. No, nothing, no whiskey is sold. Nothing is sold there in this venue. It was just for some musicians that wanted to have fun with friends. So I remember the very first party there, Chris Anderson canceled the party at 4 o'clock in the afternoon via email.
You're
on the day of
tell
the party.
That story.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna tell that story. Well, it turned out that the party was a huge success. Just good folks coming from all around, and including I'll have to say an individual who was at that time the national champ hydroplane driver. Showed up at this party. And I remember this other guy who was very instrumental in this, in the coop and helping out doing things, kind of like Lauren and Steve Ams and the people, Steve Salona and characters like that who were hard workers around there and getting stuff done. One of these workers, Rob, said, you know, Anderson, that's the best party you ever canceled.
And the point
was that it was an entity that grew that was not a them and us entity. There was no dividing line. When I play there, I feel no dividing line between the band and the audience.
Yeah.
To me, it's just one. Mm-hmm. I just happen to be the one that's whacking on something to make sound. Mm-hmm. But you're the one, i.e., quote, the audience, is the one that's out there dancing and creating huge amounts of energy as we play music. So the whole point of the thing was not so much it's going to be a big performing venue as much as it's a place where a bunch of people get together and build this thing. So it started off with just the people in the band. Well, we'll remove the walls. But then, you know, I know so-and-so and so-and-so who would probably like to just come do something like this. So, and the group grew larger and larger of people we knew, the friends of the musicians who cherished the idea, well, here's a place we can come listen to these bands play. And we got in a little room to dance. And then all of that, it started to get ever more grandiose because after a while we said, oh, you know, the dance floor needs to be a little bigger. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, I know what. What if we had the stage out the back? Well, that's a wall. Well, what if we removed the wall and built another room out there with a stage on it? And on and on and on it would go. And that's when we had, as Chris put it, the whistle pig meeting, which was a meeting of all the people, as we used to call it, the board of directions. Not directors, but the board of directions, where we started to work on how we might orchestrate this thing. And as the major stages started to transpire, it got to where there were multifaceted activities going on there. Well, you know, we're going to do the electrical, and then we got to put that plumbing in, and we got to pour the slab, and on it went until finally we realized this thing needs some real direction. We need an administrator or something.
Permitting.
The thing is.
Oh, you said a bad word.
That's one of the words you're not allowed to say. On
well, we, I'll have to say we had one of our good friends and people who enjoyed the music happened to also be a very knowledgeable structural inspector. And he kept us out of trouble in that department by making sure that everything we did there was in code. And eventually we had to create, it got to the point we finally had to create what I would call a critical path flow chart of what we were doing at the coop so that we would know who had to do what before somebody else did. Well, you didn't want to close the wall out before you got the wires in there, for instance. And then other people, they said, well, you know, we need a first-class sound system. Okay, well, let's put conduits under the floor, and let's go over here and to the side and build a place for the sound equipment. And let's, you know, and it went on, and it went through probably five major, what I would call mitoses, of its function and its size. And Chris may want to go over some of those, because we were doing everything under the sun out there in terms of building. And it was all being done by people that just loved what was going on, by community, and by the people who either were playing or being an audience, and vice versa, because I might be playing this week and next week going to a party there with some other band. Is that?
Yeah.
You know, Dave, that was so articulate. You might be accused of being a rocket scientist.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. You are a rocket scientist.
That's right. I am a rocket scientist.
I know. You are a rocket scientist. No, that really is a wonderful review of a lot of the evolution and the feelings behind the coop. By the way, you know, when you did some of that remodeling, mitosis, whatever, there's this beautiful piece of cedar over the stage now that has the coop in relief. I can't imagine where you got that beautiful piece of cedar.
I could tell you the story of that.
Oh, go ahead.
Rob Wheeler.
Ah.
Did it on his own, showed up with it, and he got the cedar from?
He did.
Got Lauren from Center.
Yep.
So yep. Lauren has been a big part of the construction of it. Even, you know, we have cedar here. We got his old painted sign from his cedar. Tell, you know, where did that come from?
Well, going back many decades, there was a sign maker on the island, Les Johnson, who was Scotty Johnson's dad.
Okay.
And back in those days, if you wanted a sign, Les would just paint you 10 or 12 of them. They didn't print anything. He'd hand paint the signs. So this is, I don't know, late 70s, and I said, hey, I need some signs, L.S. Cedar signs. Can you make me some? Maybe 10 or 12 of these signs, and just on plywood, hand-painted, and they're really cool. And the only one I know of that's in existence is at the coop. I don't know what happened to the rest
fantastic.
Of them.
It's on the wall.
Yeah, it's on the wall, yeah.
That's cool.
And it has, if you look at it close, it's got a couple of BBs stuck in it from where somebody used a CO for a target practice.
Wow, sure. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
a new thing.
Better BBs than 44s.
But yeah, those were kind of historic, and there's one at the coop. But there's always extra materials laying around that we can use for the coop.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much.
I just have one thing to add to what Dave said. And one of the big reasons why a lot of that happened was the legend. There's a legend. Somebody told me there was a legend at the coop. What's a legend? About 10 years ago, someone came into our lives, into my life, named Sue Hardy. I wasn't going to mention her name, but I'm doing it now. And she was very responsible for much of what Dave just said, because she could have said, not a good idea, but she was behind it 100%. So I just wanted to add that.
I thought you were going to talk about the pirate ship legend, that the coop was actually made out of an old pirate ship, and therefore the laws don't apply on the premises.
Well, you're talking about the movie, and on CoopTube and YouTube, there's a CoopTube Vashon in the movie, and one of the local characters was mentioning what he thought happened and how it
is. Well, once you say it, you know, it becomes
fact.
It does on Vashon.
Yep.
Kevin, you've got a few questions, do you not?
I do. First of all, I want to just admire the do-it-yourself Vashon spirit. You know, it's that's one of the reasons I love living here. And Dave, I'll have to say that I spent a little time in Houston myself. I don't know if I consider myself a rocket scientist, but you were there during the space race, and I was there a little later with the International Space Station, a period of detente, where I could actually meet a whole bunch of Russians actually working on that project at the time. So different times. But hey, the question I have is, now we've painted this picture of what the coop is, this physical structure and all this and additions that have happened over the years. So when somebody says, okay, I'm planning to go, what do they expect? What's the kind of the programming? You know, what kind of range of things do they hear? Do they need tickets? You know, what's the scoop on the coop from that perspective?
That's a great question, and we get it all the time when people drive up for the first time and say, is this the coupe? And you go, yeah, this is the coupe. And the main thing is we have no tickets. We don't charge anything. People can donate, and we welcome that. But the main problem we have is parking. And we have a nice parking lot, but we have some people on Vashon that are driving challenged. And so I have to be out there with a flashlight. And I can tell you, we've had some experiences. So I hope that answers you to some extent. But basically, we have an email database, and it's run by a very, very talented and very efficient person who basically does not want her name mentioned, but she's very good at it. So what happens is if somebody emails me at MrMosca.com, no, that's not it. It's Mr.Mosca@gmail.com. Then I pass that along to her, and she lets them know what we're doing. I hope that answered.
All right. So just a quick follow-up. I mean, it sounds like it's music, music, music. Is there any other types of entertainment that you offer, or is that pretty much it?
Oh, we have square dancing, and we have poetry. They're the worst drivers, by the way. Poets? Unbelievable. <They don't. laughs> That would be a story in its own.
Pure right brain.
Yeah. Sue has an art class that takes place every couple weeks. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget it. Jazz. Greg McElroy does a jazz jam for jazz musicians, and some of them are high school kids. They come out like they were there yesterday playing.
You had the Burn Supper there, too.
The Burn Supper. We have Cajun Jam that Dave runs, and Melanie, and Lady Gator, and I don't know. What else, Dave? What else?
Well, we've done odd things there, like we did a music class for a student body at Harbor School one time.
Oh, that's right.
Chris and I, just for the heck of it, we didn't know what we were doing, but we all had a great time, and the students got to write a song and perform it. So there's been a number of unusual things of that nature, but basically it is music-oriented.
And I understand people can bring food and stuff for just to share. Is that
potlucks occur?
Potluck?
On a
perennial potluck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what we used to say is just like a church potluck without the sermon.
you come in,
everybody has their good food, and then on this island there are incredible cooks, male and female cooks. And also, I wanted to mention there were many women that worked on the construction too that Dave forgot to mention, and they're going to get after him when they see him next.
Yeah. So,
Kevin, do you have anything else?
No, I really appreciate going over all the variety of what people can experience when they show up.
Let me ask you one question, follow up on what Kevin was asking. You started out with just the interior room, did you not? Now you have, what, two more venues out there, sort of?
We started out with just the building itself, and then the extra room, the big room, what we call the low place, came about the time that Sue came into my life, about 10, 11 years ago. And then we built the outdoor stage, the big outdoor stage, which we hope to do a show this summer for the Sam Yates Foundation, and I'm really hoping to have some kind of reincantation, I don't know the right word, but the Doily Brothers, some version of whatever's left, run by Lauren to be the headliners of that particular event. So I have to hope that happens. But, then we added a small stage next to it because we're crazy. And, we just built this stage next to the coop. There it is.
And you got a tent cover, sort of.
It's covered, yeah. We have covered. We go into late spring, we'll be out there.
Yeah.
Because I prefer to play outside if I have a choice.
Well, the COVID thing was a big instigator. When COVID came, we started moving outside the coop. And that's when the outdoor venues and the tents sprung into being. And now they've become an entity of their own. But they were more an issue of necessity to not be cooped up in the coop. But the point being that the coop's footprint has increased in funny ways. Like the big outside room was simply when I first went there, it was a bare square workshop with a carport. And eventually somebody, it might even been Lauren for all I know, said, well, hey, we got, this is like another room. What if we paved it? No, I know what. Let's put a bathroom in. Well, while we're at it, let's add a kitchen. And that kind of stuff went on incessantly at the Coop. And as soon as somebody would kick out a fertile idea, then there'd be a group of characters who would show up. And the work was done largely on Saturday and Sunday. And we'd have work parties where we'd be up to our elbows in concrete, but there'd be some people maybe playing music entertain the people who were working. And so it was a community effort from the bottom of our feet right up to the top of our heads. And it's been that way ever since in terms of entertainment. You know, most of the construction is over, but we still have work parties because we still need work being done. And when it comes to things such as, well, how do you decide who plays there or not play there? The rule of thumb had kind of been, well, if you put in sweat equity or real equity. And there were people that did both. You know, Lauren Center greatly underplays his role. He probably had delivered 2 truckloads of lumber to that place. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lauren, because they were things that he felt would be beautiful additions, needed additions. And people would do that. And people who did that were the ones, you know, if you worked on the Coop, you could say, by the way, I'd like to play a gig there. They will just tell us, you know, when you tell Chris when they want to do it. And he'd put it out and everybody would come and applaud you and celebrate the fact that you worked your tail off at the Coop and now you're playing at the Coop. And wow. That's been kind of the rule of thumb for, you might say, admission. So the criteria has been, have you worked on the Coop? Have you showed up for work parties ever?
What about the people who come and listen? Do they need a special invitation, Chris?
Well, they get an email from our czarina, who lets them know where it is, when it is, and like that. So yeah, we don't advertise in town.
Right.
We don't put posters out. The idea that we're secret. Well, if somebody has their hand up. There's a.
Yeah. Well, I'd have a quick question. Is there a calendar? Do you have a calendar? No.
Yeah, we do.
But you don't publish it, right?
No, we don't publish it.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah, and it's inadequate, according to Sue.
Yeah,
you know, I need to get better at putting my... Somebody, did he...
Yeah, Kevin?
Kevin?
Yeah. I was just curious. So it sounds like the Coop is, you know, expanded greatly. I assume this is somebody's personal home, right? Chris, is this your home that we're talking about?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and that's my living room. and I was just sitting there the other day watching J.D. Hobson's band play, and I was just thinking, what a treat for me, just if I was just thinking about me or Sue and I, to have a band like that playing in our living room. And that's kind of the way we look at it.
Wow.
So all things are like that.
So somebody could like, oh, this Vashon Center for the Arts, I guess I'd like to go drive by and check the place out. I've heard about it. I guess maybe at the Coop, that wouldn't be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
No.
You'd be dropping in on like your breakfast times or whatever.
That doesn't matter. Yeah. That doesn't matter at all. Okay. I wanted to mention about Lauren, how important it was that we made a connection with local musicians. And anytime I asked anybody in town when I first came here, does anybody play with a bass and drums around here? You know, like rock and roll, and they'd point at the Cedar Place. Go talk to that guy.
Go talk to you.
Anyway.
If people are interested in finding out more or maybe getting on that email list, give us that email address again.
Okay, it's mr.mosca@gmail.com.
And Mr. is full Mr.?
M-R.
Oh, just M-R.
M-R, period. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I forgot.
And how do you spell Mosca?
M-O-S-C-A. Everybody knows Mosca, Dave. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. No, I guess
you do. Yeah, you do.
Okay, so mr.mosca@gmail.com. @gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Lauren.
Before we part, I know you said you didn't want to mention names because there's too many and you don't want to forget anybody,
right.
But I want to give a shout out to Steve Amston,
right.
Who couldn't be here today and would be were not for other circumstances, but... Steve is one of Vashon's finest people, and he's one of Vashon's finest musicians. I've
Amen.
Always looked up to his ability, his song list, and above all, his ability to share.
Yeah, hasn't he won the what is the award?
The Magnuson Award?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, many times. Yeah. But you know, just all around good guy, and his ability to share his music. He's really good at writing charts, really good at teaching stuff, and he's been a big help to me, I know, and I've been playing music with him for going on 50 years, and just a guy that deserves some credit.
And he's actually, with Rick Doucet, they're going to run a sound, teaching younger folks how to run sound, how to, you know, set up a band, how to run a concert, and Rick has had vast experience in that, and Steve too. So you're right. And Steve, if you're listening, you know, let all these compliments, I mean, you know, come on, you know.
And Rick's no slouch as a player either.
No.
Plus, yeah, he knows the lyrics to every song ever written. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I have to say, I'm proud to say that 36 years ago, I was relatively new to the island. I've been here a year or two, and I needed a band for our wedding at down at Morningside Morgan Farm, and Steve played back in 1988. At our wedding, so I've known him since then, and he's a great guitar player, great singer,
yeah,
and a good friend. So,
okay, Steve, and that's all we're going to say about
it. That's
you.
That's in that.
I might add, this is in tribute to Steve and everybody else. I had a band for 30 years in Seattle, and when I moved to Vashon, I thought, oh my God, I'm leaving all this rich music and going to a musical wasteland. But I was totally mistaken. When I got here, I finally found out I was in a musical utopia. It was the great musicians per capita far outweighed the Seattle proper. And for that, I'm just eternally grateful. And all these people sitting here beside me are those kind of individuals that made me have that great realization.
I've always heard that on Vashon we have a population of about 11,000, and 50,000 of them are musicians, and the rest are artists. So there you go.
You know, it is amazing. Yeah, like you were saying, Chris, that your living room. You know,
right.
When I go to music venues on the island, and especially when there's what virtually no cover or a cover or a contribution, whatever, and I'm thinking, this is a 5-minute drive from my house,
yeah,
and I can sit there and I can listen to just some fabulous music with people who are having a great time. There are very few places that I've lived, and I've lived in a lot of different places where there's no other place I've ever experienced like that, and I think it's just a wonderful thing, and I appreciate everything that you people have done for Vashon, the contributions that you've made. So, is there anything you want to end off on, Chris? We only have, a couple of minutes.
2 minutes, okay. I just appreciate Lauren and Dave coming here, and Steve, wherever you are, you know, forget all those compliments, Steve. You know. but, you know, thank you guys. Thank you for having us, Amy and Craig and
Truman.
Truman, yeah.
And Kevin.
And Kevin, because I already forgot half the names, but I didn't forget this man right here. To my radio left, right? Isn't that how you say it? Radio
dial.
On my left on the radio dial is Dave Lang.
And don't forget Chris. He's too humble to admit it, but he's the guy. If none of this would have happened if it weren't for Chris Anderson.
Amen.
So, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. So with the, what do we got, a little over a minute left. For Chris, Lauren, Dave, Kevin, Bruce, Truman, and me, thank you for listening to The Brown Briefly, and tune in next Tuesday when Truman will be hosting The Truman Show, and as the Tappet Brothers used to say, we'll help you waste another hour.
As
we field questions on a wide range of the hottest news topics. So new, you probably don't even know what they're going to be.
I actually don't. No, actually I don't. In fact, I'd forgotten it was going to be the Truman Show next week. So thank you for reminding me.
I would have reminded you at least on Tuesday morning.
At least, yeah. Oh, boy.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you all, and thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Yeah, that was fun.